This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Last week, the Wall Street Journal had an alarming suggestion. There's currently such a surplus of cheese in this country that every American would need to, quote, eat an extra 3 pounds this year to work it off. That is, by the way, on top of the 36 pounds of cheese the average American already consumes each year. Now, for some of us, adding even more delicious cheese to our diet is a sacrifice we would be willing to make for the country. But as those in the Vermont dairy industry know, this is really all about the economics of milk prices. Joining us now to explain is Bob Parsons, professor of community development and applied economics at UVM Extension. Bob, nice to talk with you again.
Okay, thank you.
Can we just pause for a moment on that 36 pound of cheese the average American eats figure? I mean, that's a lot of cheese we're already eating in this country, isn't it?
Well, it's a lot of cheese, but what we have to realize is that we have more milk going into cheese now than what we have going into fluid milk. So cheese is the primary driver of the milk price at the farm level.
Okay. All right. So it sounded like or could have been inferred from the tone of this Wall Street Journal article that people were alarmed, reporters were alarmed to discover that there's more cheese than normal. But I take it you're not surprised that we have this amount of cheese going up and up.
We've got a surplus of milk right now in the United States. As little as a year and a half ago, we were exporting maybe about 17% of our annual production. That has dropped now for various reasons to under like about 12%. So along with that, dairy farmers just keep producing more milk, and we've got more milk on the market than what we can consume in this country. And so we're very dependent upon international trade conditions, you know, the value of the dollar and consumption in countries like China and other Pacific Rim countries that affects our farm milk price.
And right now, I mean, for a while, it seemed like the consumption of milk in China was on the rise and American dairy producers were seeing a benefit from that. Is that not happening anymore?
Well, it's dropped a little bit, but China, you know, they're like any other good bargainer. If we can buy milk, dairy products cheaper from Australia and New Zealand, why buy from America? And right now, the Australian dollar and New Zealand dollar are considerably lower. So that gives their dairy products a cheap, you know, makes them cheaper on the international market than what American products are.
All right. So the equation can get very complicated, but to simplify it here, you know, maybe you can help explain when dairy prices are low, typically milk producers don't make less milk because they still need to make a profit. So there's often more milk going into the system. And of course, fluid milk can't last indefinitely. So if you're putting more milk in the system and somebody's trying to make some money off of it, it often goes into a product that can be put on the shelf or put in storage for a while. So it's powdered milk or cheese. Is that why we're seeing so much cheese?
Essentially, you've got fluid milk. I mean, within a, you know, there are federal laws that within so many hours after that milk is picked up, it has to be headed and done something for processing. It's a huge medium for bacterial growth. And we have milk that goes for fluid milk, and that's what people most likely associate it with it. But you also think of, yogurt, cottage cheese, ice cream, hard cheeses, as well as powdered milk, as well as butter. So milk goes into a gamut of activities or products, and the three that are the easiest to store are butter, powdered milk, and cheese.
So that would explain why we're seeing more cheese if milk prices have been low.
Yes, if you've got too much milk, you don't have it for international markets, you do something with the milk, and it's most easier to make it in the cheese, and you know, then you also depend on what the butter markets are, of whether you need to ship into more butter, or you try to put in the powdered milk. And then you might have a surplus of powdered milk on the market, and so you end up shifting it to where you can use it for that most storable product.
So, you know, there used to be this expression or this phrase that people may remember, government cheese. Is it the government still that's taking the, you know, the federal government taking that surplus milk?
And no,
the government has
gotten out of the business of buying and storing agricultural products. They have programs to help maybe export some dairy products, but right now this is all in the private sector here right now, and so basically you don't have the government piling up quantities of cheese that you would think about whenever you're old enough to remember back to the 1980s when the government decided to give away because it was costing too much to store. But the government is out of the storage business now, so we've got we've got a downturn in consumption of dairy products for U.S. dairy products because we've lost some of our international markets. We also have the European Union, which has discontinued their quota, and that has resulted in increased milk production. And then you have Russia that, due to international reasons over Ukraine and stuff, has discontinued importation of agricultural products from Western Europe, is not buying many dairy products, so that is dumped on the international market. So what you have right now is between the U.S., Australia, New Zealand, and the European Union, we just have a lot of extra milk on the market.
So how is this affecting Vermont producers, dairy producers, quite specifically? Because we not only have dairy producers, but what about our cheese market, too? Because we typically think of cheese in Vermont. There's a high degree of artisan cheesemakers here who are not necessarily making a block of cheddar that can be stored in the freezer for 3 years.
Well, artisan cheese is a very, very small sliver of the market. Basically, what is really happening right now is with our conventional dairy farmers, they are back to prices that we haven't seen since 2009, and 2009 was a disaster. And basically, most of the farmers right now, they're seeing prices that are probably maybe $4 or $5 under their cost of production. And so they're tightening the belt and cutting back spending where they can. And if you talk to farm suppliers, bills are starting to accumulate, feed bills, supply bills, fuel bills, any other bills associated with the farm. And so right now, the process is the dairy farmers are pulling their belts tighter and trying to make through this until they see a return of some higher milk prices. And that could come with a change in international conditions. If Russia gets better on terms with Western Europe and the West and reopens their markets to Western agricultural products, that can be a big help, and maybe a rejuvenation, a little bit of a market, and maybe even a lowering of the U.S. dollar. A combination of those could end up raising the milk price for the American farmers. And one of the things that has happened right now is whenever the milk price is down, the farmers, an individual farmer knows that if we just reduce milk supply, we would lower the milk supply and raise milk price. But for an individual, a separate dairy farmer, he's only faced with one choice, and that is, I need more money to pay my bills, and if I can produce more milk, I'll get more money.
Bob Parsons is a professor of community development and applied economics at UVM Extension. Thanks so much for talking a little bit about dairy economics and the cheese glut we're seeing in this country. Bob, I appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you very much.